Welcome to the Voice of Literacy,
where literacy researchers discuss implications of research for teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers.
Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forum.
My name is Candace Kuby, a professor of early childhood literacy at the University of Missouri.
And my name is Sarah Vanderzanen, a professor of literacy education at the University of Northern Iowa. This week we hear from Dr. Tanya Wright, assistant professor of teacher education at Michigan State University. She's speaking with us on behalf of her co-author, Dr. Newman, about their recent article published in the Journal of Literacy Research entitled Paucity and Disparity in Kindergarten Oral Vocabulary Instruction. Welcome, Dr. Wright.
Hi.
Thank you for being here today. And first, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in early literacy vocabulary instruction.
Well, I'm a former kindergarten teacher, so that's how I got interested in early literacy. I used to teach it myself. And then when I went back to graduate school, I remained really interested in early literacy. My master's degree is as a reading specialist, and I've always been really interested in instruction in the area of early literacy and really making sure that all kids, no matter who they are and where they come to school from, get really high-quality early literacy instruction when they arrive at school.
All right, let's turn our attention to your article. And in the article, you talk about the differences in oral vocabulary instruction in schools with economically advantaged and economically disadvantaged populations. What were some of those results or surprises?
Yeah, so one of the things we know from other research is that children growing up in poverty may arrive at school, at kindergarten, with less vocabulary knowledge than their peers. And vocabulary is really important because if we want kids to understand what they read, they have to know what the words mean. So when I say vocabulary, I'm talking about word meanings. So one of the things we'd expect is that in schools serving kids that are economically disadvantaged, that they'd be doing more vocabulary instruction to make sure that those kids are prepared to read the texts that they encounter in school. And in fact, we found the opposite. We found the least vocabulary instruction in schools serving most children growing up in poverty, and the most vocabulary instruction for the economically advantaged children. We also found less attention to sophisticated or interesting words for the schools that were serving kids growing up in poverty. So it's really an upsetting finding and the opposite of what we would expect if we really want to support children from all backgrounds being successful in school and in comprehending text.
Right. That is definitely upsetting, and thinking about contributing to so-called gap, right, in terms of achievement and knowledge. Thinking more about instruction and your study, you discussed some problems with expecting young children to learn new words with these sort of single teachable moments. So this quick, you know, a student asks, what is the word? And the teacher tells what the word means and then moves on. Could you talk about that just a little bit?
Yeah. So there's nothing bad about teachable moments. Of course, if a kid asks what a word means, the teacher should explain it. Or if a word comes up that the teacher thinks children might not understand, the teacher should explain the word. So it's not that teachable moments are bad, it's that we found that this was the only kind of vocabulary instructioning that was happening in these classrooms. So what we didn't find was more planned vocabulary instruction where there was a set of words that teachers were going to teach more explicitly and ensure the kids were getting enough repetitions to really retain the word. And the reason that's concerning is if we think about, you know, academic or school-based vocabulary, there's some vocabulary that kids probably wouldn't encounter in their everyday language that we really want them to know, again, so they can understand text and participate in content area learning. And those are the words we would want to see teachers instructing more explicitly, and we didn't see any of that at all in the 660 hours that we observed in kindergarten classrooms.
So based on your expertise, what would you recommend to teachers in terms of vocabulary instruction?
So I would recommend that they do both, right? We want to make sure that the language environment is good for kids, right? We're going to talk to kids, we're going to use big words with kids, we're going to explain them as they come up, but also that teachers are looking across the content areas that they teach and having sets of vocabulary that they're teaching more explicitly. And by explicitly, I mean providing a child-friendly definition, ensuring that kids have the opportunity to use the word and apply the word and review the word so that we know that kids are really learning it. So think about teaching the word observation in science, right? It would be very challenging for kids to understand what was going on in a lesson that required observation if they didn't know this word really well. So that would be the kind of word that we would want to teach and ensure that kids knew.
And how about for policymakers? What could they contribute to resolving this problem?
Yeah, so I mean, I think one thing for administrators and policymakers to think about is ensuring that we have high quality instruction for schools that are serving children who are growing up in poverty, right? Which is more and more of our schools. And what is really upsetting is to think about instructional inequity making things worse, right? Potentially making things worse for the kids that need our schools and need their teachers to provide the best possible instruction. It's just really something to think about, and it's not just vocabulary where there's evidence of this kind of instructional inequity. There have been other studies that have shown the same thing for informational text, science instruction, all sorts of things. So really just to make sure that we're giving the highest quality possible instruction to all kids, no matter what their economic background is.
In conclusion, tell us a little bit about research you're doing now or where you see your work headed.
So a couple other studies that I've done that are related to this, we also looked at the curricula that are being used in kindergarten, the core curricula, and then also textbooks for teacher education. And we looked at some of these same issues. Are teachers really learning enough or getting enough support from curriculum to be able to provide high-quality vocabulary instruction? And something we found is not really. There's a big range. So that's something I've looked at, and it suggests that we need a lot more professional development about how to do this well. And the other thing I've been working on recently is actually developing curricula to improve the situation. So another finding from the study that we didn't talk about today was that teachers provided very little content area instruction in kindergarten, you know, less than 3 minutes of science a day. But when science was taught, that was a time when a lot of new vocabulary came up. So I've been working on developing integrated literacy, oral language, and science curricula with explicit vocabulary instruction for kindergarten classrooms.
Wow, that's giving us a lot to think about and to pursue in terms of content and vocabulary and emergent literacy. And we thank you for being with us today, Dr. Wright.
My pleasure.
You can find Dr. Wright and Dr. Newman's work, Paucity and Disparity in Kindergarten Oral Vocabulary Instruction, in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 46, Number 3. Stay current with literacy research. Go to iTunes, Facebook, or Twitter and search for Voice of Literacy. Or go directly to our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Wright. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and pose questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.